A word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come assembled into thy house yet again now in this day to give thee thanks and give thee praise and to worship thy name and to lift thee up on high. And so, Father, we just pray thee that thy Spirit would speak to us as we would open through thy word, and may, Lord, we be filled with all thy goodness. We love thee, we thank thee, and pray a blessing upon this reading, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn this afternoon to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 5, and begin reading with verse number 17. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse number 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that sat with him, that were with him, which were of the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man therein." Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, "Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people." Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For behold, before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed, And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. May God bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees.
Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we come to thee again in this afternoon hour to gather around about thy precious and living word. And so thankful that we are, Lord, that we have this word that has been sent and inspired by thee in heaven above and recorded and preserved for us to read, to meditate, to be instructed in the ways of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, to be given a word that is preserved and is eternal and is never failing in the midst of this world where everything changes and our bodies decay. Yet thy word abides forever. And despite the attempts of this world and those that have riches and power and their desire to silence the truth of what Jesus Christ has done, Lord, thou wilt prevail over it all. Help us, therefore, with meekness and a humble heart, realizing, Lord, that our goodness does not extend unto thee. But seek, O Lord, to identify with Jesus Christ in his death and his resurrection, in all that he has done and all that he has taught, that we might be aligned with thy word and that we would agree and say that thou art true and every man a liar, but that thou art true and thy word does stand. And we see how the apostles and those that committed their hearts unto thee as unto a faithful creator were certainly not disappointed. Though they went through their challenges of faith and their tests, thou art always faithful. And so we in this life, as we face the challenges or the difficulties, whatever they might be, of people that do not see the wisdom or understand and might mock, help us to remember, Lord, that thou art ever faithful, thou art never failing, and that we would trust and hope in thee, the living God, and build upon the rock of Jesus Christ, who has taught that we would hear his commands and would do them, and that we would not fall. Help us to continue in his ways and continue in thy wisdom and thy truth. We would pray, O Lord, also for those that could not gather with us, that thou would provide thy spirit and thy blessing unto them, that they would also be encouraged in their faith, and that we, one and all, as we have so much need, would grow in faith and love for thee and one another. We also pray a special grace upon our brother as he would open this word and share from the truths that are contained therein, for our benefit and for thy honor and thy glory, for only thou art worthy, thy name be praised and glorified, both now and forevermore, through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Brother Robert captured very nicely the essence of the chapter here, of the truths of God's word and these events that had transpired here in the time of the apostles, how that with God all things are possible, but to fight against God is absolutely impossible, and to be victorious against fighting against God. And that then we would identify with Christ in everything, that we our identity, our own personal identity would be lost, and that our identity would be in Christ, as it was here with the apostles, and as they sought to simply bring forth the word and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And so they did that, and they suffered many things as they did bring forth the word of Jesus Christ, but yet they continuously did that. They brought forth the words of Jesus Christ. That was what was important to them, and that they stood on. It wasn't their word. It wasn't their spin on it. It was simply the words of Jesus, and they brought forth that word of Jesus, and they preached and taught Jesus Christ. So events happened here during this time where the miracles were happening. There was that miracle of Peter raising up the impotent man who was there laid at the gate of the temple, and Jesus said, or Peter said, "I have silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he did. And he did. And when he did, he gave all glory to God. That was very important to him that glory would be given to God. He said, when the people were wandering and they were rejoicing that this impotent man was now able to walk, Peter and said, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" Peter completely took no credit for the ability of this man to walk. That all went to Jesus Christ. And in the next chapter, again, he's saying, there is salvation in no other, for there is none other name given among men which whereby we must be saved. There was nothing that the apostles were taking credit for of themselves. They were always given credit to Jesus Christ. It says, "Be known unto you all, the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, even by Jesus, even by the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah who has come, doth this man stand before you whole." And so they were continuously preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit had come now at this time, and we read that in Acts chapter 2. And then in the previous verses to the verses that we just read, beginning with verse number 17, these previous verses, it was the Bible here says that many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. It was a glorious time. It was a glorious time. It said many signs and wonders were wrought among the people. And the people were so amazed and so had so much faith in the abilities of the apostles as they were giving glory to God and to Jesus, that they simply put those that had ailments in the pathway where Peter might go, that his shadow might fall on those that were that had some ill, and that they would be healed. And so it was that they were healed, every one. Great things were happening, but it cost them. They were being the apostles were being persecuted and quite heavily by the Jewish people at this time, the captain of the temple, the high priest, and all these that were there. They were trying to suppress with everything they had the message of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in what we've read this afternoon and in the previous chapter that they threatened them, saying, "Speak henceforth no more in this name." And so that's where we are here with this reading. And when the high priest and those that were with him, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the captain of the temple, when they saw these miracles happening, and that the people were coming and they were being baptized, they were being added, multitudes of both men and women were being added to the fold of the Lord. When they saw these things happening, all these miracles, they had indignation, the Bible says. They were filled with indignation. They were angry. They were mad. They did not want to see this happening. And so they tried to stop it. Just as they tried to stop the message that Jesus Christ brought, they were also trying to stop the apostles. And it says that they laid their hands on them and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And so it was that as we began, that if we are with God, all things are possible. But if we are not with God, if we want to be involved in anything that's outside of God's will, we will certainly fail. And here it's clear that the apostles were in the center of God's will were doing what God would have them to do, and these Pharisees and these Sadducees clearly were not. Later it says that the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Here it's saying that the Sadducees were filled with indignation. They were angry. And they laid their hands upon the apostles and put them in the common prison. And the angel of the Lord came and opens it up. There was no holding back what God had intended to be propagated and brought forth. And so this happens at night. And early in the morning, the apostles are there. They're obedient. They are listening to what the angel of the Lord had brought, the message that they brought to them. And they went early in the morning and taught, simply teaching again Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ had done and the message of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of denying yourself, taking up your cross and following the Lord, the truth of loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, the truth of loving your neighbor, the truth of bearing fruit, being the light, forgiving one another, loving our enemies. All these truths that Jesus Christ had taught, these apostles were teaching likewise, and the Lord was with them, and the Lord prospered that message, and many turned to the Lord. And so at the same time that this is happening, that the apostles are in the temple teaching the people as the angel had instructed them, at that same time, the high priest and they that were with him called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. So at the same time, the teaching's going on in the temple by the apostles, and here the men that are without God and outside the center of God's will, outside the will of God, they are trying to gather themselves in array. They are trying to say, okay, we're going to now stop this. We're going to put an end to this once and for all. And they put themselves in array. They were going to go against these apostles and stop them. It says, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the prison guards out front. But when we opened the door, nobody was in there. And they were astounded. And when they heard these things, the high priest and those that were with him, they started to wonder, like, okay, what the Bible says, whereunto would this grow? They were wondering, what's going to come of this? How, where's the end? They're healing people. The multitudes are following them. They're all getting baptized. They love to hear about Jesus. Jesus is apparently resurrected. And they keep wondering, like, how big is this going to get? How much more is it going to grow? And then another one comes and says, those men that were in the prison that you're looking for, they're in the temple and they're teaching the people. And it says, then the captain of the temple goes with the officers. This time he goes with them and together, and they in a mild manner, without causing any ruckus or any violence, just simply comes in a manner that would be calm and brought the apostles, and they feared for their own lives lest they should be stoned, because there were those there that were hearing that message, and they knew that there was power in that message. They knew that these men, these apostles, were witnesses of Jesus Christ. They knew that they were preaching the truth. They knew that their word had power, and maybe not so much for the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes and those that were with them. And so once that council has the apostles separated from the crowd and into their court, then they say, perhaps a little bit more harshly, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Notice that they didn't even say the name of Jesus. They simply just didn't want to even say that. They just simply say, didn't we command you not to teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and to intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But that was a beautiful thing. that they did fill Jerusalem with that doctrine, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, and that many were hearing that truth, and that were understanding that through faith in Jesus Christ, salvation can be had. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins can be obtained. Through faith in a risen Savior that was the Son of God. And then they said also, "You intend to bring this man's blood upon us." And we're familiar with that, that when Pontius Pilate was saying that, I'm clean from this matter, I am not going to bear any responsibility of Jesus' crucifixion. And they said, the Jews said, "Well, his blood be upon us and our children." And truly, it had already begun. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." They were convinced that the teaching of Jesus Christ was true. He was truly the Son of God, just as Peter recognized that when Jesus asked, who do men say I am?" And then Jesus asked, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter responded by saying, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And from that time, and even through now, they were preaching of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God, and they were going to be aligned with him. They were going to have their identity in Christ, and they were going to identify with him as they were preaching the word of Jesus. And so they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then they said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree." Here he's the Apostle Peter, he's identifying with them, and he's saying, "You scribes and you Pharisees, we're all in this together. We're Jews. We're the sons of Abraham. It is our father that raised up Jesus. But it was you that slew him and hung him on a tree." And then Peter continues and says these beautiful words, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand." God exalted Jesus. And more so than simply just raising him from the dead and the resurrection there and the ascension, but even in the times when Jesus was baptized or when Jesus was transfigured, that God said, "This is my beloved Son. My beloved Son, hear him. God hath highly exalted him." In Philippians, we read that, those beautiful verses there that says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things of earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God hath highly exalted Jesus. And Peter saying that here, "Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior." This is what Jesus Christ had come, to be the prince of peace, as Isaiah says. He was to be that prince of peace. He came to give us peace, that we would have that promise from the Lord that we would be saved, that we could have that freedom from condemnation, and that condemnation would be replaced with peace. And so he is that prince of peace. And then earlier in chapter 3 of Acts, Peter also referred to Jesus as the prince of life. That's who Jesus is. He's that prince of life. And again, because he is that prince of peace, the prince of life, that we identify, the apostles identified with him, we also identify with Jesus. We don't stand on our own merit, as we heard this morning. We're not standing on our own righteousness. We don't despise others as these Sadducees, the captain of the temple, the high priest, as they despised others. And so, again, God exalted Jesus. With his right hand to be a prince and a savior. And that's the reason that Jesus came, is to save men's souls. We read that in the Gospels. In Matthew 18 is one of the places where Jesus Christ came to save men's lives. In the Bible, we also read where the Bible says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And the Apostle Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy to be accepted, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is why Jesus came, to save us from our sins. And he is the Savior of the world. And the apostles had recognized this, and that's what Peter was telling the council there. God exalted Jesus. God exalted him to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And this is what it was all about. When Peter began to preach, immediately after the Holy Spirit came there at the day of Pentecost, and from then on, and the message of Jesus when he first began his ministry was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repentance was given to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. The most beautiful gift that we could have is that forgiveness of sins through this prince and through this savior. The forgiveness of sins. They were aligned with that. They were identified in that, the apostles. We likewise have to be identified in Christ. And there can be no other teaching but the teaching of Jesus Christ in fullness. And Peter continues on and he says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." The Holy Ghost was given. It was given to those that believed. It was given to those who were of a humble heart, again, as we read this morning. The Holy Spirit can only dwell in a heart that is humble, that recognizes its need for the Lord and his righteousness. And that's where the Holy Ghost was doing his work. Through the apostles, as they identified with Christ, and as they taught and as they preached Jesus. It says, "And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." Again, the council there was angry. They didn't want to hear this message. They didn't want to hear that forgiveness of sins comes from Jesus, and that he's a prince, and that he's a savior. They didn't want to hear these things, that God raised up Jesus, whom they slew and hung on a tree. Again, they were filled with indignation. They were angry, but the apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. Here they figured, well, we were just put in prison the night before, and now already this morning we're in front of the council. Who knows what's going to happen today? What's going to happen today? Is our time come? Is it the end? They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were persuaded that they needed to teach and preach Jesus, whether it was to the masses or in the temple or privately in house to house, or if it was to the council. They were to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It can be no different today. So these men were angry. The council, they are angry, and it's hard, it's difficult to reason with a person that's angry, let alone to a mob, not necessarily a mob, but a group of people that were angry. It's difficult to reason with a group of people that are angry, that are filled with indignation, and that simply want to kill the apostles. That was their desire, is that they would kill them. But Gamaliel, he had this opportunity, and he did reason with them. And in a beautiful way, he simply says, "I'm not going to tell you what to do, but listen to this." He says that they excused also the apostles that they wouldn't be there. And he says, "Take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men." And he gives two examples. He says there was this Theudas who, boasting himself to be someone, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. So here it was, this man named Theudas, and he was given this he was part of this activity where he put together whatever some type of a marketing plan and said, "Come follow me, come join me. I'm on this crusade." And it turned out that there was probably some activity there, but when he was slain, everybody simply dispersed, and the matter became nothing. And then he gives another example, and he says, "Hey, there was this Judas of Galilee, and there was this taxing, and he drew away much people after him." Again, perhaps very persuasive, as men can sometimes be. There are marketing plans, seen and unseen, that can be very persuasive. We don't need to pay taxes. That's not what we're going to do. We love our country. We're gonna maintain our country, but we're not going to pay taxes. And that can draw people's curiosity and even their courage to follow such a person. But when that person was disposed, that whole effort dissipated. Nothing came of it. It all went away. Why? Because it was something that man designed and something that man was pushing for. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't God's will. It wasn't teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. And so the Gamaliel continues and says, "So based on this, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it's going to come to nothing." There's nothing going to happen with this. It'll come to nothing. If Jesus Christ truly wasn't the Son of God, if there was no resurrection, it's all going to come to naught. It's all going to come to nothing. So just leave them alone. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And so he brought forth this truth to the Sadducees. Again, he took a more passive role, and he said, "I'm not going to tell you what to do, but here, consider these things." And it's truth that we cannot fight against God, and the Bible is replete with examples and truths of that. In Proverbs, we read, "There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord." There's no person, there's no committee, there's no group of people that can come with their wisdom, their understanding, or their counsel against the Lord. It's going to fail. It's going to fail. The Sadducees failed. The Pharisees failed. They were failed. They failed because they were outside of God's will. "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." People can put together great plans, great plans. Man can say, I've got this all figured out. I know exactly what to do. But if it's not of the Lord, it'll fail. In Psalms, we read, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." There's nothing that can be done outside of God's will that will prosper. The apostles got this. They understood it. And they taught and preached Jesus Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. They taught and preached Jesus Christ. It can be no different today. We cannot teach or preach anything else but Jesus Christ. And so this council, they agreed with Gamaliel. They said to him, they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Again, they still had this anger. They wanted to slay these apostles. They had them in prison. They had them. They were in the apostles were in their grasp, but the angel of the Lord just simply opened the prison, and they slipped out. And the people magnified the work of the apostles, and so they couldn't do this. They couldn't do this yet. But since they weren't able to slay them, they beat them, and they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. This was the response of those that were inside the center of God's will, of those that were preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. That, again, they were in the prison the night before. Now they're standing before this council. They don't know what's going to transpire. How are things going to play out? They didn't know these things, but they were going to trust in the Lord, and they were simply going to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And when they were beaten, they left there, not thinking, well, we'll just do this maybe in a more subtle manner and that. But when they were beaten, perhaps they remembered what Jesus said there on the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And this is exactly what the apostles had experienced. They were reviled, they were persecuted, and all manner of evil was spoken against them falsely for the sake of Jesus. For the sake of Jesus, because they were preaching in Jesus' name, and they had filled Jerusalem with the name of Jesus and with the gospel message and the teachings of Jesus. And so Jesus says, after he says, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake," he says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." And that's what the apostles did. They rejoiced. They were counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. They left that council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. Thoughts go through our head. When there's a time of peace and relative quiet, perhaps the gospel message is just a little bit more muted. But when there's a time of persecution, we see it time and time again. It happened here. It happened in the Middle Ages. It happened in other times. That when there's a persecution, when there's a pushback hard against the gospel of Jesus Christ, that actually great things happen. More come to the Lord. There's this truth that's brought forth, and even if there's difficulty, there's rejoicing through that difficulty. And it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house," meaning in a public setting at the temple or in the house where it was in a private setting, "they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." We need to identify with Jesus Christ as the apostles identified with Jesus Christ. That's the identity that we need to seek. We need to glorify the Lord. We need to lift up his name. We need to know that it's about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done. It's not about us. Never has been, and it never will be. Our identity needs to be in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we need to die daily and live anew each day to the Lord, that we would take up our cross and follow him, that we would teach and preach Jesus Christ, that the teachings that we would have would be what Jesus taught. And that would be, again, to recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to take up our cross, to follow him, and die to ourselves, to our own self-will, that we would love the Lord with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we would be a light to this world, that we would serve others as Jesus served, even washing feet of his disciples, that we would remember the Lord's broken body and his shed blood in the manner that he did at that Last Supper, that we would love our enemies, that we would forgive those who trespass against us. These are the teachings of Jesus Christ, and these are the teachings that need to go forth. It was powerful back then. It'll be powerful today. If we regress to any teaching less than Jesus Christ, we will lose our way. We will lose our lamp. Jesus really railed on those of that time in Mark chapter 7. There were the Pharisees and the scribes that they came to him, And Jesus says to them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men, and lay aside the commandment of God." It can never be that we would teach the commandments of men and lay aside the commandment of God. The song that we began this day with this morning, 197, the last half of the last verse says, "Do thou turn my heart to thee, and my tongue direct for me," just as the tongue of the apostles was directed. "Let it only tell the story of thy honor, thy praise, and thy glory." Amen.
Gamaliel told the council, "Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men." This account of the apostles and the faith that they had in their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stirs within our hearts, and my heart in particular, a question and something to ponder and to pray about as I see the living faith in action as displayed in the Scripture. To take heed to myself what I will do Jesus. These priests and the soldiers were dedicated individuals. They were faithful in the office that they held. They gave up much. They sacrificed a lot. But the apostles and those that were called by the Lord to be obedient to the Word of God and were given the gift of the Holy Ghost, their love went so much farther. The priests were worried about their reputations. They were worried about the crowd stoning them. They were worried about what was going to happen. But the apostles were trusting in God. And the scripture that came to my mind was, "Neither do I count my life dear unto myself." How far will I let Jesus take my love and my life? Take heed what we would do as touching this man that was given as a ransom for many. May God bless his word.